Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Super Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. And I am solo for this edition of the Super Nintendo Show, where we talk about Super Nintendo games sort of semi-chronologically as they came out 21 years ago. But for today, we are actually going to fast forward our time travel backwards to 1998 and talk about Super Famicom Wars, which is a game that never came out in North America. The Wars series first came to North America on the Game Boy Advance, and the entries in the series are usually named after the hardware they're on. It's on the Game Boy Advance, so it's called Advance Wars. And the Advance name has stuck to the series in North America at least. I first played on the GBA, of course, and I bought it used from a Blockbuster I was working at, which is something that only old people ever say. I didn't know much about the series at the time. I only knew that a coworker of mine highly recommended the game. So after playing it, I got absolutely hooked by the strategic gameplay. I bought both DS installments when they launched on release day. I also bought the GameCube and Wii spin-off Battalion Wars games as well at launch. And those two spin-off games kind of carried on the lighthearted spirit of Advance Wars, but the series definitely seemed more at home on portable gaming systems. Now, the original game was on the Famicom, of course, named Famicom Wars. Then there were three Game Boy installments, two on the Game Boy Advance and two on the DS. And outside of Famicom Wars and Super Famicom Wars, the only other game in the sort of Wars series were in the Battalion spinoffs. Super Famicom Wars was developed by Intelligent Systems, who of course does the Advance Wars series as well as Fire Emblem and Paper Mario, and published by Nintendo on the Super Famicom. It was released in Japan on May 1st of 1998, nearly 23 months after the N64 was released in Japan. The game was produced by Takahiro Izushi, who is credited as a producer on the Game Boy Pokemon games, as well as some Fire Emblem and Advance Wars games, as well as the WarioWare series. But Izushi has no credits after 2004, where he was credited as a producer on Metroid Zero Mission. He is the guy who took over Nintendo R&D1 after Gunpei Yokoi departed from Nintendo, and Nintendo R&D1 itself was restructured by the late, great Satoru Iwata in 2005, so Mr. Izushi probably moved into more of a management role, but I was not able to find his position at Nintendo or if he's currently even still with the company from my research on this game. Super Famicom Wars was designed by Kozao Kaga, who was the creator of the Fire Emblem series, and he was credited as the designer and director of a number of Fire Emblem games throughout the 90s as well as Super Famicom Wars. But in 1999, he left Intelligent Systems and founded Timonog Company and made the Tearing Saga game, which is very similar in gameplay to Fire Emblem. And that one came out on the PS1 in May of 2001 in Japan only. He also released Berwick Saga and Vestaria Saga in 2005 and 2016, respectively, but no other credits to his name outside of those three games to this point. We'll probably talk more about him when we talk about some of the Fire Emblem Super Nintendo games. But Super Famicom Wars was directed by Toru Narihiro, who also directed Advance Wars on the GBA, and then moved into a producer role in a lot of the Fire Emblem and Advance Wars games, and I believe produced most of those games after the Advance Wars GBA games. However, he did not have a credit as a producer in Fire Emblem Fates. Now, there's really not a whole lot of information about the game proper outside of, you know, what you can find in some really bare-bone of fan sites and Wikipedia entries. I did watch quite a bit of the game through some YouTube, but there's not really a whole lot of YouTube Let's Plays for this game either. There's one or two out there, and they take opposite ends of an approach where one talks way too much, and the other doesn't really say much of anything about what's going on in the game. But I really love the animations, and you can see really early on there were these roots of silliness and zaniness and wackiness within the series. All of the little characters totally mug for the camera and make little troll faces at each other. The opening animation for the game is especially really fun. But none of these animations seem skippable, and when I say that, I refer mostly to the in-battle animations where one unit is attacking another, and that might be the product of this game never having a localization or even a fan translation, so I wasn't able to see what was going on in the menus to see if there was an option to turn those sorts of things off. It makes total sense that they wouldn't, though, because that's something that probably wasn't prevalent in the series until more modern takes on the game. There also doesn't seem like there is much in the form of a true campaign mode. It's more similar to a war room setup from the start, where you pick from COs. There are 7 different COs, each with their own attributes, although the specifics of those attributes seem negligible in their effect in battle. But what you do is when you pick your CO, then it continues onto how you would normally think of a war room, where you pick the map you want to play, and then you just have at it. There's no learning curve to take you up into higher levels of gameplay. It's just everything is there from the start. Now, a lot of the true attributes of Advanced Wars, as we know it now, are there in the game. The battles are turn-taking. Each side moves all of their units, and the other side moves all of their units. You capture cities, and that affects your economy. Units have HP. Units will move in different ranges depending on where they are and depending on terrain effects. There are type advantages and terrain advantages, so on and so forth. But with no campaign, they're just throwing you to the wolves from the start, it seems, in this game. You can build any unit you want as long as you have the building that you need to produce it. And a few of the maps that I saw, you seem to be outnumbered and or outmatched from the very beginning by the enemy units and their resources that they have at their disposal. There are 4 units in the game that are not in other Advance Wars games. You have the Assault Fighter, which is a sort of hybrid between a bomber and a fighter. There is a Rail Turtle, which is a unit that's only producible from a special building and moves along rails. A Giga Tank, as well as a Small Tank. And units in this game do actually level up. You can get them up to level 5. Where they become more powerful as well as more defensive. And this is something that also appeared in Advance Wars Days of Ruin, the latest entry in the series. Units in Super Famicom Wars attack simultaneously no matter who the aggressor is. So by way of example, this would mean if your infantry attacked an enemy infantry, they fire at the same time, so they end up doing the same damage to each other. You would both, for example, be left with 5 HP if you both started the battle with 10 HP. Now, in future entries of the game, the aggressor always got first shot, and then the defending unit would be able to retaliate. And this mixes up with the strategy, and I really can't make a judgment call of which one is more effective. I can only say which one I'm more used to. It seems to, in later entries, give the advantage to the aggressor in that way, so that you are always moving forward and pulling the battle forward to encourage you to be aggressive. But in Super Famicom Wars, for example, it would encourage you more to use terrain bonuses to your advantage and to take that more conservative approach to maybe draw the enemy in, knowing that you have a terrain advantage and then therefore get the drop on them when you're playing defense, knowing that even though they're attacking you, you are just as likely to do as much damage or even more, depending on where their units are placed. So I can see both of them having a strategic advantage, but for me personally, because this is what I'm used to, I think I would just prefer the attacking unit having the advantage in any situation. The game also looks very nice. The sprites all have a lot of personality to them, all very exaggerated and goofy. It all plays on a grid like we know every modern Advance Wars game to play like, and every game in the Advance Wars or the Wars series plays outside of the Game Boy entries, which use a hex grid where you can move to and attack at a variety of different squares around you rather than just the ones that are a parallel or perpendicular to your character. The fact that this game was never localized is kind of understandable due to the amount of menus within the game, and also just because even in North America, the Nintendo 64 had been out for months and months, I think about 19 or 20 months at this point, so they were full steam ahead into the N64. It would be kind of cool to see a localization or a fan translation one day. A localization is very, very, very unlikely, simply due to the dormant nature of the series and how the series has been dormant for essentially the last decade. And it's a shame, really, that this series has gone dormant, but it has had this tumultuous cycle ever since the Game Boy Advance game. The Game Boy Advance entry in the Wars series released first in North America, and the timing was quite unfortunate. It came out on September 10th, 2001, of course, one day before September 11th and the attacks that occurred on that day in America. And because of those attacks, Nintendo showed some sensitivity and delayed the game in other territories. Now, it did eventually come out in Europe, but in Japan, neither Advance Wars 1 or Advance Wars 2 came out until 2004, where it was released as a compilation called Game Boy Wars Advance. And that was leading up to the DS release of Advance Wars Dual Strike, and I believe it was called Famicom Wars DS in Japan. But after Advance Wars Dual Strike, Japan didn't get another Advance Wars game until 2013, where they got Advance Wars Days of Ruin, which came out in North America, in 2008. So this series quickly went from being Japan only to having a very Western focus and having a very troubled release schedule in its home country. And I don't know that Nintendo and Intelligent Systems were ever able to quite find the balance. When Advance Wars Days of Ruin was released in Japan, it was released as a Club Nintendo reward only. It did not get another like paid release. So hopefully the series has not ended. Another contributing factor to the series being dormant is the increased popularity in the Fire Emblem series, not just in Japan, where it's always been fairly popular, but in North America and Europe, where in Fire Emblem Awakening, there was a huge skyrocket in the amount of popularity and exposure to the series. So they have their strategy game and a strategy RPG there built into one, so there hasn't been a need for another strategy game. But that is going to bring this micro episode of the Super Nintendo Show to a close. We will be back in just a few days for the official show. Next month, we will be back with a big release on the Super Nintendo because it'll be time to talk about Super Mario RPG. So that'll be a fun one. So thanks for listening, everybody. Till next time.